preaching through a passage like this is preaching through a page in a phone book. Because all you have here is a list of 76 names. But I have to tell you that is not the case because this is not a phone book. In all honesty, I have to tell you that I was somewhat convinced that I was not going to preach on this passage a number of weeks ago, but it was merely going to make some general comments about it in Nehemiah chapter 4. But I also have to tell you that skipping a passage like this is what I would call the unpardonable sin for a preacher who believes in expositional preaching. And so you may be thinking, so does that mean you're going to make us suffer this morning, James, because you're preaching this passage out of guilt? The answer is no, I'm not preaching this passage out of guilt. I'm actually preaching this passage because I have been reminded once again that all scripture is inspired by God and that it is all useful for God's people. And so that is why I preach this passage. If God had thought this passage would be a waste of ink and time, it wouldn't be here. But since it is here, God clearly has a purpose in having it here and desires to use it even in our own hearts in this place this morning. My prayer is that God be used in some way for you. I guess the first question that we really need to ask ourselves in approaching this list of 76 names is why? Why does Luke include this genealogy of Jesus? And, you know, I'm not sure how much you're into family trees and your genealogies and all of that, but I don't think our culture fully understands the importance of what the family tree or these genealogies meant in biblical times. There really were a number of important reasons why they were used and why they were important to different families. Just to list a few of them. A genealogy was needed to solidify the right to inherit property. In that culture, people were not moving all over the world like they are today. When dad died, kids got the property. When the kids died, their kids got the property, and just kept going on and on down the list. Genealogy was very important for that purpose. Genealogy also played a role in taxation. Joseph and Mary are an example of that, having to travel to Bethlehem to register. It also proved the eligibility to serve as a priest, because you had to be of the Levitical lineage in order to perform those duties. So there are a number of reasons why genealogies were very, very important. And I find that the older I get, the more I want to know about my heritage and my background and my identity in terms of the family tree as well. And I made more discoveries the older I get from other people that I talk to in my own family, just in terms of my heritage that comes from Germany, primarily, and Austria. And I bet you didn't know that the oldest city in Austria is the city of Enns. Right? Taking over the world. You didn't know that. Kathy's also done some research on her side of the family, and it's interesting to discover that she is actually related to Benjamin Rush, who was not only a prominent doctor in the 1700s and made a number of modern medical discoveries, but also was one that signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776. So a lot of interesting things, and I guess we can make all sorts of claims to be an heir of this person or that person, someone that has a lot of money or some popular figure in history, but it's another thing to actually prove to be so. Genealogy is one obvious way to do that, and I think it's safe to say that with this passage, God went out of his way to provide rational documentation as to who Jesus was. I think sometimes people look at Christianity as this step into the dark or this blind faith, and yet it is so rational. And I think this genealogy is just proof of that again, and with these rational passages like this again proves how substantial our faith James. He's the real deal, and he uses a very detailed genealogy as one of many means to prove it. Luke also connects Jesus' lineage with David, and with Abraham, with Noah, and with Adam. You'll see those names in the list. So why are those names so important? Because it was Adam and Noah and Abraham and David that God made a covenant with regarding the Messiah that would come through their lineage. Now, one of the things that you also may note is that there is another lineage of Jesus given in the Gospel of Matthew. There's only those two. The other Gospels do not give the genealogies. So this list is very different from that of Luke. First of all, Matthew starts with Abraham and he moves forward to Jesus. Luke starts with Jesus and he goes backwards all the way to Adam. So why are they so different from that way? Well, it makes sense that Matthew started with Abraham, but we understand that he's writing to Jews. And to the Jew, Abraham is considered the father of the Jewish nations, in a complete sense. Luke, however, is writing to a Gentile, Theophilus, and therefore stopping at Abraham and not going any further would make no sense at all. Thinking, well, who is Abraham? I mean, why don't you go through the entire list? So that makes sense why Luke did that. The other thing that may appear rather confusing or even conflicting is that both genealogies seem to be giving Joseph's lineage, and yet the order and the names are not the same. Why is that? Well, here's just a few things to consider. We're not going to unravel and understand this completely, but let me just say a few things about them. First of all, you'll notice in verse 23 that it says, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. In other words, you could say Jesus was the son, supposedly, of Joseph. Okay, so what he's basically saying is that he wasn't the physical father, but he is legally father. Jesus was physically the son of Mary through the supernatural virgin birth. I think one of the things I notice is that Luke seems to put the primary emphasis on Mary in this particular gospel. Also, another thing to note is that most Jewish genealogies do not mention the mother. And so that's also something to consider here. And I think most many scholars agree that this lineage is actually Mary's lineage, even though Luke's name is not mentioned. And if that is the case, Eli, who is the next after mentioned after Joseph, could very well be Joseph's father-in-law. Anyway, I'm not here to dogmatically say that that is the case, because it's even going to be a great theologian or named Leon Morris says that we have no information as to how a genealogy would be reckoned when there is no human father. The case is unique and obviously so. And so you may be at this point already saying, well, I'm not sure if we would even care about all those details, but when in the world are they going to learn their genealogy? Well, I've actually given you seven things. You should be thankful because that's 76 things. Five of them having to do with God and salvation. I think two of them directly assigned to you and I this morning. So let me just work through them one by one. First of all, this genealogy tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, do you notice that the genealogy does not end with Adam? This is very interesting because what is so unique about this list of names, like no other genealogy, is that it ends with God himself. Okay, so Luke is drawing attention not only to the fact that this is not just a man, he's not just like a teacher, he's not just a prophet, he's the very Son of God. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. God dwells within this man, Jesus. And as we know from Scripture, Jesus remained sinless as the only Son of God, the only Son of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent In other words, Jesus is not just something out of Greek mythology. He is not something built with human hands and put on a pedestal. Jesus is not some kind of cosmic force. He's not just something you read in this nice storybook. Jesus was a real person with real flesh and blood that was physically born of a real woman who came from 75 generations of real people. Say, well, what's the point? The point being that the Son of God became a man. Why did he become a man? It's too maybe describes it better than anywhere where it says, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And why did he do that? He did it to identify humanity with humanity's problems and temptations, and then to pay the price for our sins so that we could be reconciled back to God. So Luke authenticates the role for Jesus to rightly serve God as mediator for all of humanity. Confirms the humanity of Jesus. Three, it emphasizes the universality of salvation. And the fact that Luke takes this genealogy all the way back to Adam shows that Jesus was not merely the fulfillment of Jewish hopes, but that he was the hope for all people. God is not restricted to just one culture or to one ethnic group. It's not exclusive in that way. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Greek simply meaning everyone else that's not a Jew. All humanity. Galatians chapter 3, 26 to 29, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." You know, does that mean that all people are going to be saved? No, but that, what that does mean is that Jesus provided salvation. So there's really one race. Talk about races in our culture today. It's only one race. It's the human race. There are colors and cultures, but Jesus came to bring salvation to everyone because we're all the same. And we all have the same need of salvation and reconciliation, proving that God is not biased in his love. That is why body of Christ for believers today, there should never ever be a hint of racism amongst us. We are one race. The salvation that not only unites us to God, but unites us to one another and therefore refuses racism. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 to 16, he has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, it might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. What are the answer for racism? Jesus. Number four. Genealogy teaches, reminds us, place for us the grace of God. If you actually take time to study and go through this list, you
him.
The truth of the matter is, we're really no different than any other generation because we are just as sinful as it. And we are just as desperate in need of God and His grace and mercy as any generation is. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, though, says, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. And so God's grace is displayed. And as you read through all of these names, God loved every one of them. God loved every generation. God pursued every generation. The fact that He sent Jesus speaks volumes to that truth. And yes, God loves this generation too. Number five. It proves how God is faithful. When you look at 76 generations from the beginning all the way to the end, and everywhere in between, you will never find any. David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and saying, I will raise up your offspring after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish His kingdom. And then he says, I shall establish His kingdom forever. Well, who even has the potential to have an eternal kingdom? Bring to Jesus. If you look at the lineage, both Mary and Joseph come from the line of David. Same as all these other generations. and have the same problems everybody else had. Although every generation is a sinful generation, I have to tell you that the best of the past is not limiting to what God will do in the present and in the future. Because God is faithful. And He will faithfully work, and He will faithfully transform, and He will faithfully bring healing to your life by His grace. You trust Him as you submit to Him. Jesus loves to get involved in messed up families. Jesus came from a messed up lineage. Jesus loves to fix messed up families, turn tragic stories into ones that can bring Him great glory. So when you get discouraged because of your past, you remember that God is faithful. Sometimes he was a parent. I completely agree with my children when I might be the godly father I'd like to be. But I know it was really because of that. All of us have to be reminded that God is faithful, and He will be faithful to my children, and He will be faithful to their children. Faithful by whom you were called in the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The last two have to do with us. Number six and number seven. Number six, it reminds us that notoriety is not synonymous with usefulness. Say, well, how do you get that? Well, out of the 76 names that are listed there in this passage, there's about half that we know absolutely nothing about. If you were to search through scripture and concordances and whatever, you will never find those names anywhere else in scripture. Okay, if you were to Google them, in our today's language, you wouldn't find them anywhere at all. And yet what I find interesting is that God used them to influence generations that followed them. Sometimes we want to leave a significant mark on the world. You know, I want to do great things for God. religions and different languages. Scripture is actually rather clear on the fact that there are only two groups of humanity, those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. You say, well, what's the notable difference? Life through the one man, Jesus Christ.